Welcome to Idol Chatter, the podcast where we talk about HBO's new show, The Idol, with the king of toxic R&B, The Weeknd. Just join us every Tuesday. We talk about symbolism. We talk about theories and explain what the episode was about. I'm your host, Derek Brown, and with me is our lovely co-host, Marla. Say hi, Marla.
Hello.
All right, and this is awesome. Now we actually saw the show. So the first episode aired yesterday, and it was called, I think it's Pop Tarts and Rat Tails. Marla, overall, what did you think about the episode?
I thought it was very well done cinematography-wise. Mm-hmm. Like the show opens with a close-up of Lily Rose Depp, and it's like a dude behind the camera that's like telling her different emotions to do while they take pictures of her. So it really shows like her broad range of skills.
Yeah, and that's...
It kind of felt a little like Wes Anderson-y in a sense that like everything was really symmetrical.
Mm-hmm.
But then... I should have wrote this down. It wasn't that long until we saw her boobs. And I was like, and now it's HBO.
Okay. All right, we're getting too ahead of ourselves. So I just want to say, like, I like the show. It was a lot better than what the trailer showed. Yeah, the supporting cast is super strong. Like, super strong.
Yeah, no, really good. I really liked Troy Sivan's character a lot. He's like her PR guy.
Yeah.
I forgot his name. But he's like really incredible, and I didn't realize how good he was at acting.
Yeah.
I love Dan Levy's character. I actually kind of feel like they added a lot to the show. Like sometimes yeah. supporting characters kind of like just, you know, it's like adding a little salt to something sweet. But I really think that they also kind of were a main character in of themselves.
Yeah, they did a good job. So Troy's character is Xander. He's the creative director. And then Dan Levy is... the publicist. So let's talk about the show. Let's talk about what happened. And yeah, we'll just go from there. So you said the show opens up on Jocelyn, Lily Rose Depp, and it's like a close up of her face. And we hear like the photographer asking her to do different emotions. One is like being happy, crying, being seductive, being like doe eyed, and she pulls it off very well. And then we basically
don't you think there's something yeah. weird with her eyes? Sorry. I'm just going to go real superficial look.
No,
like,
no.
Okay, look. I feel like her eyes are too far apart. And maybe that's what adds to like the weirdness of a model. You know, like models sometimes aren't conventionally pretty, but her eyes are so far apart. I couldn't help but be like,
well,
she's
I think
pretty,
that is
in a weird,
that's
like,
I think that's a good plus.
Anya Taylor-Joy way.
Yeah, I think that's a plus, because if she was just traditional like beauty, there's something odd about it, which I think the world that we're going to enter is going to be odd also. Her eyes were kind of dead a little bit. Yeah, I don't know. It was a close up and it was hard to tell who she was from her eyes, if that makes sense. So, I guess it expands and we find that she's taking pictures for her new album cover, the nudity. How do you feel about the nudity? So she is topless, taking pictures. Did you think it was over the top? Nude? Like a lot of people on Reddit are saying like how disgusting it was and how it didn't need to be nude. What were your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's HBO, right? So like, what do you expect?
Yeah.
Like we're going to see a little boob. I think it was ironic, the conflict of the beginning of the show was that, like, she wanted to show her boobs and they didn't want her to show her boobs because it wasn't in the writer.
Yeah, it was kind of like it had to be her nudity clause said no, like, bare breast or whatever. So there was a person in charge of that and they said, no, we have to shut this down. We have to wait 48 hours for it to happen.
According to my husband, she has good boobs.
What'd you say?
According to my husband, she has good boobs.
Good to know.
Are they, and the topic of the household was, are they real or not? And I think they're real, but he is not so sure. And here's the thing.
Yeah.
If there are boob jobs out there where
they're not overtly fake looking. And because he told me, he's like, hey, you know, there's girls out there that are getting like not egregious boob jobs, but just like they look like they have small boobs. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, sign me up. Like, where can we get one of those? Because that's what you want, right? You want boobs that don't look overtly fake. So
yeah, I think that's
Lily like, Rose Depp.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this and your boobs are fake, please comment the name of your surgeon. Thank you.
You don't have to do that. You know, just want to say that was Marla, and I, yeah, I think she looks beautiful, no matter what size her chest is, or whatever. So yeah, there's a small conflict. Jocelyn is cool with being nude, but they want her to say like, wait 48 hours until we have it on paper. So what happens next is we see a shot where we see her in a window, and it. So it's like, oh, we're talking about her image, and is this image true or whatever? And then this is when we start to meet a ton of side characters. We meet Jocelyn's creative director, Xander, played by Troy Sivan, which is awesome. We meet Nikki Katz, played by Jane Addams. She's kind of has the vibe of like late 40s, kind of hip, but kind of old school, trying to be hip, like the cool mom. What'd you think about her as a character?
She the white lady?
Yeah, she's the white lady. She's the older white lady.
Oh, she's like, she doesn't sugarcoat stuff. Isn't she the one that's like, mental illness sells?
Yeah, and she's like, mental illness is sexy now.
She's like the embodiment of like, what is wrong with Hollywood? And she's not going to sugarcoat the fact that she knows what sells. And unfortunately, it's nudity and mental health issues.
Yeah. And she has this great speech about like how mental health is sexy because it has the appeal that people in the Midwest, the only way they're going to have sex with someone that beautiful is if they have a mental illness, which is funny writing to
She's
me.
Not wrong. Yeah. She's not wrong, right? Like
right.
That same logic could be applied. And I don't know if you watch 90 Day Fiancé, but along the theme of my previous comment in the last episode about how my taste in TV is trash.
Yeah.
Like there's these like hot Latin American or like European girls that date guys that look like a fucking Pokemon character. And then you're like, what's up with that? And it's like, oh, she must be mentally ill.
Yeah. What's, you know, it's kind of, so it, we kind of get like the hint that like she went through some stuff. Like she did have a breakdown and she's kind of, I guess they think she's over it. I think what they're hinting at was her mom dying of cancer and she was there for it. So that's kind of a thing we kind of put in her pocket for later. Mm-hmm. Then we meet Haim, played by Hank Azaria, Mr. Simpsons guy, the formerly voice of Apu and does all the voices on Simpsons, and it is known for I don't know if you've seen Birdcage, but he plays a really good character. I don't know what this guy's accent is. His accent is, I don't know, what is it, like Italian? It's something weird.
It's Israeli.
Oh, really?
According to Reddit, it's an Israeli accent, yeah. And he's her manager, right?
Yeah, and he's kind of like the person who's kind of in charge, it seems like the second person in charge. Mm-hmm. So they kind of hinted that we that she had a breakdown. And then we hear, you know what I found is like, so Haim and Nikki were talking about like comparing her to like Brigitte Bardot and Sharon Tate. And Sharon Tate is like the movie star that's murdered by Charles Manson.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like, oh, because, and then Haim character was like, God forbid that we compare her to her. So it's kind of like a foreshadowing being killed by a cult. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of crazy. I got it on a second watch, so it's I don't know, it's really heavy foreshadowing in this episode, like very heavy.
Well, I mean, we only have 6 episodes, right? So like,
yeah,
I'm sure like crazy shit's about to take off like next episode.
Yeah. And then we meet a whole bunch of side characters. We meet her co-manager, played by Divine Joy Randolph. Her name is Destiny. She comes in and she says she has a big conflict. I think the major conflict of the first half of the show, which is a photo was leaked of our star Jocelyn with body fluid on her face, like sexual body fluid. Yeah, because they're trying to figure out how to tell her. And then her assistant, which is her best friend, is kind of hiding her phone and not really telling her. And they ask you to show the picture too, which is, I didn't think they were going to.
I have nothing to say about that.
Nothing to say? Nothing to say about that. I left you.
I was clutching at my pearls. My goodness.
Yeah.
How... how grotesque.
I mean, this happened like in 2014 where, like, I don't know if you remember, like, all these stars' phones got hacked.
They called the Fappening.
The Fappening. Yeah, that's what they called it. Yes. Yeah, and that was crazy. All her team is just so stressed. And we meet, I said, her best friend, Leah, who is her, you know, her assistant and best friend. And then she says, like, oh, we have a whole bunch of dancing in the backyard, you should go back there and practice, right?
Yeah. Well, let me go back to the picture. Did you do you, the title of the episode, as you said, is Pop-Tarts and Rat Tails?
Yeah.
Obviously, we know where the origination of the pop or the rat tail came from because
the Weekend's
character Tedros has a rat tail. But did you catch the quote? I think it was by Heim.
No, it was from her Andrew Finkelstein.
Oh, okay. Said that picture basically said she looks frosted like a Pop-Tart.
The line was like, how are 14-year-olds gonna relate to her when she's like looks like she's frosted like a Pop-Tart, which is great, the best line of the entire show. So then she's practicing in the backyard, and I don't know if you caught it. There was like so much symbolism there about like idol worship. Like there's a dance move where she's being lifted up like Jesus, and then people are praying to her, which I think kind of like, I think it's a whole bunch of symbolism and like, I can't like religion. I didn't think this was going to be like kind of a religious show with comparison to fake idols and all that stuff. But it's very religious with a whole bunch of symbolism.
Did you catch her outfit? I'm sure you did. Or lack thereof an outfit?
Yeah. Yeah.
How? Why? For those that saw it, like, if you're going to do a dance rehearsal, I feel like you want your shit, like, strapped in, at least. But, like, basically this chick's outfit was, like, everything was held together by, like, 1 5-foot piece of dental floss. And I sound like the conservative pearl clutcher here, but I'm just wondering, like, the logistics of it. No. Is that an LA thing?
No, Derek? I think it was done on purpose. I think this shows her confidence or her not caring what people think. I think that it was a choice when it comes to the character. I really do. Because when she is confronted by her team about this picture, she kind of shrugs it off and says it could be worse. So I think this shows that, like, you know, whatever she went through with her mom, maybe trauma, that she stops caring about appearances. I think that's why it's done. I mean, if you kind of look on a surface level, yeah, it's just like weird nudity that's probably not needed. But I think they're wrong. I think it's needed to tell what the character does. Yeah, I didn't think it was too crazy. I mean, it is a very sexual show. Like, I wouldn't watch this with my grandma or like my mom. You know?
Did you watch it with your significant other?
Yes, I did. Yeah, and she...
How did you feel about that?
I mean, there were like a whole bunch of scenes. She was like, damn, that's a lot. Like, you know?
Yeah, I felt like I was watching like softcore porn with my partner.
Yeah.
And I like I was almost waiting for him to be like, damn, or like... whatever, but he was very respectful and very nice, and it made it even feel like even more awkward. I was like, why are you not shocked by this? Like, do you want to go watch this by yourself?
I mean, honestly, for porn is not even like that anymore. Yeah, anyway, like, so she's a little naked basically in like a bikini and whatever, she's dancing around, but I think it's important for the character. So she kills the dance. And then she was like, oh, you know, she's confronted by her team and they tell her about, hey, we found this picture with jizz all over your face. And like, what should we do? And she's like, it could be worse. And they're like, oh, yeah. Because a lot of yes people. And then I think that's where it ends for the most part. Like, it's not really brought up again.
Yeah, like you would think that that's like, oh, this is the problem of the episode, where like, how are we gonna manage this catastrophe where she has ejaculate on her face?
thank you for the scientific term.
And then it was like, oh, over, it's done. And then she's like, want to go to the club?
Which I always do once my pictures of ejaculate get leaked. It's just, yes, I just want to go immediately to the club and dance. And then she goes to the club, who's owned by Mr. King of Toxic R&B, The Weeknd, Abel Tesfaye is his acting name. And what'd you think about the club?
I was going to say, do you think it's a club that you would go to? Not in my age, my gosh, maybe in my like 20s. It kind of reminded me of Echo Stage a little bit.
Oh yeah. Is that still around? I don't know.
But it reminded me of like, it was like, you know, the club and she's just like dancing. Do you think she's an A-list celeb?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Yeah. A lot of people are comparing her to like Selena Gomez. This is like based off that.
Oh, interesting. I read that she was being compared to like Britney or like Miley Cyrus, because like Miley Cyrus's like Wrecking Ball era like kind of reminded me of her a little bit. But I'm like, how are you in the club? Like, she gets like a shit, like, okay, so like she's in the club, she's dancing with her friend, her Troye Sivan is there, Xander, and then Tedros is up in the DJ booth and like is like, is that Jocelyn? Calls out to her. But like, how is she already not getting like attention? Like, it seemed like she was just like in the crowd a little bit, like
she went through the back way. I don't know if you saw, she went through the kitchen and she wasn't seen.
Oh, I forgot she did that. I thought she came in through the front because it's like paparazzi and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, did you peep the song that was playing? Another religious thing. What was it? It was Madonna, Like a Prayer.
Oh
yeah,
yes, that's right.
Yeah, because The Weeknd was like, run that back. Or I don't know if you said that, but yeah, it's another like theme about God. And I don't know that. So I looked up the song and it says the song is about, it's about a young girl who's in love with God and God becomes her only male figure in life. So that's a weird thing to put. I don't know. There has to be a reason why they chose that song and they played it twice, because it's not really a club song. I don't really hear it that much when I was out in the clubs in these streets.
And maybe like a remix, but yeah.
And the club was a weird, creepy, like it was like shaded in red a lot. So she's dancing with the Weeknd's character, his name is Tedros. Oh no, it's actually Tedros, right?
No, it's Tedros.
I think it's Tedros.
No, how did you say it? The way you said it was wrong.
Yeah, I did. The first time I said Tedros, which is wrong. So it's Tedros. Tedros. And I looked up the name. So the name Tedros means gift from God or gift of God. And Ethiopian, which I think The Weeknd is Ethiopian, which is like crazy. So another religious theme that goes, you know, with the entire show.
You did a lot more research than I did.
Well, you know, Marla, we are the official podcast of Idle Chatter. I'm killing it right now.
I'm just sitting here and like, I know that you took notes and I took notes as well, but the comparison of your notes and my notes is Rat Tail looks like Sylvester Stallone.
Well, like it was really obvious, like the whole bunch of like religious stuff, it was like not subtle at all. Yeah, so they're dancing and they introduce themselves, and like there's a weird part of the scene where like the music gets all slow and demonic and it's Madonna's like song, like chopped and screwed, but like from hell. everyone's dancing and people are like looking at her, and we see some weird guy that said like, what, he had a tattoo in the back of his head that was like, life is war or something.
Andrew Tate. I was like, Andrew Tate got out of jail.
Yeah.
I said, Andrew Tate, that you?
If he's in the show, I refuse to watch it. The girl, why are you sipping for this girl?
Don't you think he'd be the type to have like life is war on the back of his head?
Yes, he would, 100%.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought, I don't know if you got these vibes, but like there's like clips of him like eyeing her from even before he introduces himself to her. Oh, and okay. Like we find out that like it's his club and she's like there, you know, remember the shot of the bar where like the bartender is like pouring them like tequila and then they bring it over to the table and all of her group of friends start drinking it.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to her and him like dancing. Like I thought that was like he somehow like drugged her or put some like voodoo magic on her.
Yeah, I thought so too. It seemed that way. It was like some magical spell. And it was just really red everywhere. And then I think they go off to like make out in a corner. And like the weekend, like what's the weekend's vibe? Like what's Tedros, what's his vibe? What would you say?
Not one that I would be into, which is like even more, and maybe that was done intentionally. Like, look at this creepy, sexual assaulty guy that like this girl is so enchanted by. I'm trying to think of someone that his vibe matches.
It's so many red flags too. Like his stares. I actually was surprised Weekend was that great at acting. Well, I thought he did a good job of being creepy and mysterious and just not trusting him.
Did he have like weird red hazel eyes too?
So I think they showed the red from all the rooms reflecting his eyes, which is another like, oh, this guy is like, you know, the devil, or maybe dancing with the devil. This is his hell club. Yeah, there's a scene where her assistant is looking for her, like, and she's dressed in like kind of like this bluish white, and you can see kind of a contrast of like where Joss and Tedros is, and it's like red, and then her looking for her, it's like straight just all white, and like, oh, okay, I guess it's like her assistant is like the angel on her shoulder, and maybe Tedros is like the devil on her shoulder. That's what I kind of got. It's very obvious a little bit.
See, again, it was not obvious to me because I am a trash person and I don't necessarily view.
No, I watched this. This is on my like third listen, third watch. So like,
I was just straight up shocked and stressed. I think I probably took like three breaths the entire show. And to be quite honest with you, Derek, I don't know if we tied our horse to the right wagon, because I can't bear to be stressed every Sunday. I was already dealing with some Sunday scaries, and then we dropped this in. I just was so stressed.
Here's the thing. The beginning of the show was really funny. Like the supporting cast of her managers killed it. Like it's a really good cast. And then it becomes like this weird thriller, this horror movie maybe, and it becomes really serious and not funny. Yeah, you're kind of like, okay, what is this person doing? Is this person being destructive with her life? Is very odd. So it's a really, we don't have a vibe of the show. Like it's a giant contrast.
Yeah, for sure. And I forgot the song that was playing in the stairwell, but that also had symbolism into it too. Was it Toxic by Britney?
I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was.
I'll have to check. I think it was Toxic by Britney, and they were in the stairwell. And so I'm sure there's some symbolism there. Like, here's the introduction of this toxic guy.
Yeah.
Into her life.
And then the next scene is she goes home alone. You know, alone without anyone, and then she's on the couch and she is how do you say this so I won't get censored, She is exploring her body in a I feel like that's what like old lady said like in the like 1960s or something like that.
Well, I don't know why we're all of a sudden we have our like prude hats on.
Well, I don't know how the algorithm works. I don't know if we have to put like a parental a guide or whatever on this podcast.
She was beeping herself.
Yeah. Yeah, and she was also choking herself, which something that Tedros did while they were dancing. And yeah, it was a long scene, honestly.
It was a long scene. And I was like, the camera work too, I was like, oh, it's just showing her from the side, like, mm-hmm. or at first it was just like showing her hands down there, but then it was like full on in frame.
So that happens. And yeah, I want our show to be very like grown up. And if we're talking about like a rated R show, like a TVMA show, so we should be able to say she was like masturbating herself. Right,
she was masturbating herself. Correct. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it would just okay. Like, this isn't the first toxic male that like we've seen on TV. Like the show You comes to mind. It's like, how does anybody ever fall in love with Penn Badgley? It's like, there's something about him. And you're like, well, I can kind of see it. Or like Armie Hammer in real life. You're like, yeah, maybe. But yeah. Like, I think the fact that it was creepy Sylvester Stallone is who she's thinking about. At least that's what they're like.
What are you talking about?
She's thinking about Tedros.
Oh, you call him Sylvester Stallone?
Don't you think his ponytail looks like Sylvester Stallone?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think you're thinking of Jean-Claude Van Damme, maybe.
Oh, shit.
Bring up a picture. Show me.
I'm thinking not about Sylvester Stallone.
No, Sylvester's about... like Rocky? Like... Rocky didn't have a ponytail. Who are you talking about?
It was like a 90s movie. With
like, oh, you think of Steven Seagal.
The
fat guy? The Steven Seagal guy who does karate, but he's like really fat? Type in Steven Seagal. Anyway, so while you're looking that up, so cuts from that scene, and then it's morning time. She's being woken up by her assistant saying that she needs to go downstairs and talk to Vanity Fair. Basically have this interview for this piece they're doing on her. And she is like, she's doing a really good job interviewing. I think the reporter is trying to like kind of manipulate her into kind of talking about the leaked photo, and she is not falling for it, which is shows how smart she is. Like, I think she... that scene showed that she's smart. Like, I think that was important to the series. It's showing that, okay, this person is destructive, but she's also smart.
Yeah, she knows how to play the game and basically, I mean, calls the Vanity Fair lady out like, hey, I know you're trying to like get me to talk about the picture. She's like, I don't really care.
Yeah, so... okay, then we cut to like nighttime, and then she's hanging out with her best friend. They're on the couch. Did you catch? Was it like a lover's vibe? Did you catch that or no? Was that just me thinking?
I thought that too. Like when she like puts her head on her friend's shoulder and they kind of like cuddle, and her friend gives her like a kiss on the forehead. I felt like that was like weird, maybe romance vibes, but. Again, like, I'm someone that doesn't like to be touched, so any form of touching is, like, you know, over the top for me.
Yeah, I don't think we would be good in this world. Like, I think Jocelyn would really hate me and throw her drink at me or something. Yeah, I'm the opposite of Tedros. So, I don't know. Did you catch, so her best friend... who seems to be, did you catch like a jealousy vibe, or what was her vibe really? Was she like someone who's like a loser? What was the best friend's vibe? or caretaker.
No, I didn't think that. I didn't think the best friend was a loser at all. I think she's like maybe the only one that genuinely cares about her well-being.
Okay.
And is like maybe too nice to a fault. She's not going to say no to her, but she's going to watch out for her.
But is she? Because she was one of the people who was hiding her phone from her and kind of working with her agents and kind of keeping her in the dark. So I don't know how well of a friend that is. But honestly, she may be
want to like stress her out.
Maybe. But I think she's going to be it's going to be a conflict between her and Tidros of her kind of pulling her back.
For sure.
Yeah. So
all right, let's get to the Tidros part.
Okay.
She goes,
okay.
I think I'm gonna call that Tidros guy. And his name's not Tidros, it's Tedros.
I said that. I said Tedros.
I know, but I have to get it out of my head that it's not Tidros. And the girl and the voice of reason, her friend, was like, ew. Because that's what I would say too.
Yeah, she's I think like, anyone would say ew.
What do you think he's she's like, yeah, he's kind of rapey and creepy. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, no, I'm gonna do it anyways. And so she's like, okay. And then it cuts to she's in her bedroom.
No. Don't skip past.
What?
So Tedros comes over and you see a shot of him at the gates. And it opens up and it's just a silhouette of him looking like a motherfucking vampire.
Yeah.
Like just all in all black and opening up like he has some superpower demon or something.
Straight out of the Matrix.
Let's talk about his outfit. Yeah, he's wearing basically a Morpheus suit, just a long black trench coat with slick back hair.
I'm sorry, but like the way you're describing that, if you close your eyes, does that not sound like he might go shoot up a mall?
No, see, I got like Hot Topic vibe. Like, I got that.
Like, the only
like a
thing
vampire
that would make
from
it,
Hot Topic.
Yeah, yeah. It was, I mean, it's not a good outfit. If some guy showed up to my house looking like that, I would call the cops.
Yeah, it's very, very creepy. That's, and yeah, it's a weird that you picked that outfit. Like, that's your outfit to like, get women like that's like, oh, I'm gonna put this on, I'm gonna fuck, like this is like, oh, she's wait till she sees me in this vampire outfit, I'm like, yeah, she's gonna be so impressed. He comes up and he's looking like Nosferatu or some shit.
Yep. Let's talk about her outfit. She did a little outfit change.
Yeah, she's wearing a, again, symbolism of red this time. She's wearing a straight red, what do you call it? Like a nightie, a robe? I think it's a robe.
A nightie?
What? What is that?
Oh my.
What's a nightie?
She's wearing a little nightie with footy pajamas.
It had Thomas the Tank Engine on her. Yeah. What do you call it? It's not a nightie? What's a nightie?
It was like a silk robe, a backless robe.
Okay.
And it was like very, very sexy, like something you would wear to like, woo a guy.
Yeah.
Woo a guy. I'm from the 1950s.
Is it lingerie? It's not lingerie, right?
I think it's lingerie, yeah. Yeah. Lingerie, tangentially lingerie, yeah.
Okay.
And
why is it called lingerie? It's not because, oh, for some reason you don't lounge in it, right? You like lingerie? Maybe.
Why is it called lingerie? It's French for sure.
Yeah, I think it means we're just going to assume it's French for laying around.
Sure. She was actually laying around. She was on the floor, like propped herself up. Which was funny because that's not where he even met her. So who was she doing that for?
I don't know. And there's like fire. There's a fireplace in the background.
And, there's a fire in the background. Who built that fire?
I don't know.
Is it a gas fire? Didn't look like
it. Gas fire. So she's upstairs, she's getting ready, putting on lotion and stuff. And Tedros is looking at himself in the mirror, practicing his line of like, hi, angel, with different like ways of saying it. Again, another religious thing, angel. which I don't know. I'm killing it. I don't know if you know this, but I'm killing it with the Easter eggs. But yeah, he calls her Angel, which is weird why you would say
so
that.
So scary. So yeah. Fucking scary. Also, did you catch that he like spit in her house?
So like, he did cocaine. And I guess like he kind of sniffed it and then he spit in her house. Oh, you know what? We missed something. We missed right when he came in, her assistant was like, yeah, make yourself a home. And he was like, are you sure? And like a long creepy pause, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good. Thanks for bringing this up. I have in my notes, rich people doors don't open normally. Did you see how the door opened?
No, how did it open?
So like a normal door opens like on hinges, right? This door didn't have hinges. It was kind of like a glass pane that went.
Oh, you're right. It's like, I don't know if you've ever been to like a car dealership and you see them bring in a car. So they take the glass and like move it so the car can get through. So it's kind of like a revolving door a little bit, but a giant one. Which
half
is
half a revolving door. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, that door doesn't have hinges, which fun fact, I don't know if you know this, that house that they mm-hmm. filmed in is actually The Weeknd's real house.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm wow, like, oh, I did not shit. Know that.
Yeah, yeah. It probably helped with budget, you know, because you probably like don't have to go rent a nice house, but.
Yeah. And he spit in his own house, so that makes it a little better.
The, I guess yeah. so.
And keep in mind, he's like walking around this place and he's like being watched by her assistant slash best friend and just walking around being creepy, playing the piano, just being weird. Yeah. And then
smells the pillow.
Yeah.
Where she what did you say? Explored herself.
Yeah. I don't think he was like a dog and like, oh, is someone masturbate here?
He smelling it?
I don't know. I think it just smells like her. I don't think he was like, oh, I smell some residue from mass. I don't think that happened.
Oh my god.
I just think like he's trying to examine everything. Okay, and then she comes out, she goes down the steps, and honestly remind me of like, I brought this up, it remind me of like Dracula, like coming down the steps to greet this visitor. And I don't know if that symbolism of her lowering herself or her going to hell to meet this person. And
oh my god, here we go with the symbolism.
I'm just saying. And then
I didn't even think about it that way, but true, yeah.
And then the rest of the show, this is what everyone hated. This is what people complain about on like Reddit, on Cannes Film Fest, was this next stuff. So she goes, do you want to hear my song, my single that's coming out? He's like, I want you to hear it because you're a douchebag and you're going to tell me the truth no matter what. So they go down to the studio and they have some drinks and she plays some music for him.
I'm a freak. Yeah. You know I want it bad.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. And he was like, it's okay. And well, I missed this part. So while she's drinking with her, you know, with her new devilish boo, her assistant's like, hey, just let you know that you got an appointment at 7 a.m. Don't miss it. All right, bye. It just fades back. And
then they snicker behind her back.
Yeah.
What's her problem? Bitch, if that were me and I overheard that about like, if it was like I was at my friend's house and I was her assistant and then, hey, just so you know, you have a thing at 7. And then like, they're like behind my back. I would
what
be
a loser caring about my life.
So hurt. I'd be so hurt. That would really hurt my feelings. And then I would hold a grudge against her for the rest of my life.
I would too. So the song is
fine. Then sleep in, bitch. I'd probably just like lock her in her room and not let her out.
So let's talk about the song they've been playing. So it's a song that's called like Freaks or something about being sexual. Sounds like a Weeknd song, but sung by, I think it was a real voice, but Yeah, it seems like it's a very sexual song, and she doesn't like her song because she feels like it's too poppy and not real. And she's like, oh, I wish I could be like Prince, or you know, I think The Weeknd's like, Prince does pop and he's awesome and blah blah blah. So they go down there to listen to the music, and then Tedros is like, yeah, I like it, but it's okay. And then she's like, oh, why don't you like it, or why do you like it, or why isn't it good? She's like, it sounds like you don't know how to have sex, or you, yeah, basically it says that, like, it sounds like it's, you don't, you're not seductive enough.
You don't sound like you're a freak, or like you never had sex like a freak before.
Yeah.
While this is where she's got her leg up on his shoulder, and he takes the ice cube and is like doing a 50 Shades of Grey thing with her.
Yeah. By the way, he goes down on his knees, which was happening like the Madonna song said, down on your knees, a whole bunch of times. Her new song says down on your knees, and it's like a prayer thing of like looking up to her, like she's an idol, like a, you know, so that's another symbolism thing that I found. So then he's taking off her shoes, and then he's kind of being like seductive and takes like a red scarf and puts it on her head like a nun, he called her like a nun previously, and then does something like covers her face with a red cloth,
and she's with her like robe.
With her robe. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. With her robe, she's being like suffocated.
Sorry, her nighty. She takes her
nighty. Her nighty with Thomas the Tank Engine on it, and like suffocating, and it's really creepy. To me, I'm like reaching, but it sounds like, it looked like she was being baptized a little bit. To me, because her head was back. Maybe I'm reaching. Maybe it's not true.
Oh, okay. That's very observant of you. I was like, oh, she fucked.
And then he takes out a knife and cuts like a mouth hole so she can breathe.
Well, doesn't he? Oh, yeah. Okay. So he takes the I assume it's like the waist tie of the robe. Mm-hmm. And he uses it to wrap that around her neck. Yeah, is it her neck?
Yeah, thank you.
And
yeah,
he's like, he's like choking her out with the robe over her head. I hated this shot because it was so disturbing. Mm-hmm. But it was like she was like struggling to breathe, and the camera was showing like the cloth over her mouth go like in and out, like inhaling in and out. I don't know why, but it like freaked me the hell out.
No, it was a trigger warning at the beginning of the episode. It's like, oh, this has some disturbing sexual images, which
yeah. And then he like cuts a hole in her robe, which also, who gave you permission to do that? It was probably very expensive, and he just like fucking cut a hole in her robe.
Yo, so bro. Well, first off, bro had a knife. Like,
had a knife.
Is there no security? Is it just like you can let this vampire ponytail dude in the house with a knife and cocaine? And
that knife would have not made it through TSA for sure.
Oh, no.
It was
no.
a 4-inch knife.
Yeah.
And he goes, he now you like can breathe.
So I honestly thought it was going to be like I thought he was going to have like weird oral sex with this thing.
I thought
that was gonna happen. I really did. I was like, oh, that, I don't want that's, but the episode ends with her, you know, breathing through a mouth hole, right? And that's it. That's the first
episode. She was baptized in the devil's magic, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, and then the ending song is a Prince song called I think Darling Nikki. And it is a religious song towards the end. So I looked this up. So the song that was playing was Darling Nikki, and they play like the middle of it. And the ending of the song, Prince does this thing where he's singing a gospel song, but they rewind it backwards, so it sounds demonic.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Because like
in his song or in the show?
In his song. In his song, Darling Little Nikki. People thought in the 80s, they thought Prince was satanic. So he did this to kind of troll them, where he had like this, took a gospel song saying the Lord something, something, something. And they rewinded it backwards. And it kind of like trolled, you know, the censors or whatever you call it. So it's odd that they mentioned Prince, I think once or twice. I think there's a picture of Prince in her home. So yeah, it's weird because I know the Prince has a weird thing with religion, became weirdly obsessed with, you know, church and all that stuff. So yeah, man, it's a weird show. But I enjoy it. I think, I don't know if it's going to be funny or if it's going to be like a thriller. Because the supporting cast is very strong and they're very funny.
Yeah, there's some dark humor to it. I don't know if there's going to be any more humor.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, thoughts after having seen the first episode, I said that there was going to be some weird like drug cartel mob stuff. Like, yeah. Not the case. I think it's going to be like two evil forces, I would say. Like his, like, Tedros and his crew and yeah. like the evil Hollywood PR like team like fighting over her for yeah. control.
Yeah, I agree. But no, I feel like it's gonna be like a cult thing. I do think mm-hmm. the Weeknd's character, Tedros, is trying to push out everyone and probably trying to live in that house. I would assume from him just walking around and looking at stuff. But yeah, I don't know.
I'm so stressed, dude. Like, this is so stressful to me, this show.
You think so? You were stressed out by the show?
I swear I'm so stressed. I like didn't really breathe. I'm telling you.
See,
because
he's
just
like
so creepy and puts me on yeah. edge.
I was actually surprised by the Weeknd acting ability. Yeah, he's a better actor than I thought. Yeah, the show is, I hope, is funnier than this. Okay, what do you see? Do you see people dying? What do you see? What do you think the last episode is going to
do? I don't know. I don't think anyone's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to predict like what's going to happen just because I feel like this past episode was like such a visual shock to me.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is more psychological, I feel like, and that's what is like the most unsettling for me, is that it's more psychological than like anything else. And so I think the writing is really good. I think they did a really good job with setting up tension when it isn't, there isn't like visual tension, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, it's just like a creepy guy that's like walking around your house. I think and it doesn't fit with the storyline, but I would have loved to see her like clap back a little bit. Like, it doesn't seem like, I was talking about this with my husband. She doesn't have a personality.
Right.
And I just would have loved her to be like a little, have a little spice to her. Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I think she will have personality. I think a lot of it is she seems maybe guarded from her trauma. Maybe she seems really smart and she's the type of person to observe rather than show like who she is. So I think that's going to happen. I mean, that's definitely a conflict. People are saying that's definitely one of the criticism people are saying about the main star. But yeah, again, this is HBO. It's A24 produced. So I trust them to lead us to where we want to go.
Oh, shit, I'm not going with you. I don't want to go there.
So, no, we're going.
I'm not going. I'm good. I'll stay right here.
It's going to be a creepy, hopefully funny ride.
I hope so. Okay, to close this out.
Yeah.
I don't hate it as much as I thought I would.
Yeah.
It definitely sparks a lot of, like, thought, and I found myself Googling like other people's commentary, like going through Reddit and like trying to see what people said. I think the music's great. By the end of it, I was like, I like her song. Like,
yeah,
I would play this song. I don't know if it's because like they played it enough times in the show that I'm like, it grows on you.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of am into it.
Yeah, I like it. So yeah, that's it. That is, so next week, join us next week. We do episode 2. Again, this is Idle Chatter. We post every Tuesday. Please come back, rate and subscribe. Or is that like a YouTube thing? No. Okay. Rate us.
Smash
subscribe,
that like button.
Smash that like button. Do whatever. Subscribe to our podcast. It's going to be fun. We're going to have some giveaways, maybe. So, I made that up. But, you know, if we have enough listeners, I'll throw something in. Like, I'll chip in and do some stuff. Anyway, for Idle Chatter, this is Derek and Marla, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.